This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients every day here at the Hoffman Center. If you require a nutrition consult with me, but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.
Welcome back to our weekly Q&A with Layla. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And a reminder that our Hoffman Center nutritionist, Layla Mudin, is available for consultations. And one of the advantages to working with her is that she works with patients all over the country. And it does not require a visit to the Hoffman Center. When you see me, we got to see in person, do a regular physical exam as part of a conventional medical workup. But when you work solely with Layla, you have the advantage of, you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. You can work with your existing doctor and add a nutritional component. So check out our website, drhoffman.com, for information on how you can become a patient of the Hoffman Center via our Hoffman Center nutritionist, Layla Mudin. So, Layla.
Yeah.
What's our next question?
Our next question comes from Paul. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. How are you? From my understanding, honey has antibacterial properties. I was wondering as to whether combining the yogurt with honey was actually killing the probiotic content.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you know what I've been hearing a lot, Dr. Hoffman,
yeah.
from, you know, just yeah. people around saying, well, I take honey because it's antimicrobial, so I take lots of honey in my diet. And I'm not sure that's a good thing.
No,
and
that's,
I tell
no.
them, you know, if you get a scrape or a cut on your hand or somewhere, mm-hmm. you could put some honey on it.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Well, do you know a little bit about canning and you know, when you make marmalade or you make jam? Is
mm-hmm.
actually one of the reasons you put sugar in there is because it tastes really good. But another is that when you have a high enough sugar content, it actually is antibacterial. But it requires a very high sugar content, like almost like pure sugar, to have this antibacterial effect. So you could actually take table sugar and put it on a wound, or honey, better yet, because honey has, mm-hmm. in addition to having sugar, glucose, it has dextrose or glucose in it. It also has specific antimicrobial compounds.
Yeah.
And therefore, it can be used as a disinfectant. But probably taking a lot of honey by mouth isn't going to kill a lot of germs in your body. And in fact, I think the adverse effect of the sugar would outweigh the benefits.
The fructose.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, honey has fructose in it too? Okay. So
yes, honey has only fructose in it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
As opposed to table sugar, which is fructose and glucose.
Oh, really? So honey is 100%.
Yeah, honey is pure fructose, as in fruit.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, for anybody taking honey that way in their diet, thinking they're doing a good thing and that it's an antibacterial, antimicrobial, well, you know, that's a lot of sugar you're taking in. That fructose, given time, is going to cause some fatty liver. That's a lot of fructose. Not to mention, you may develop a fructose intolerance, which may start to feel like crampy, bloaty, and then diarrhea and stuff like that, fructose intolerance. So, but, you know, it's a very interesting question about putting honey in the yogurt and what does it do to the probiotics. I really don't know. That's just so interesting.
So I'm looking it up here because I hate to be wrong.
Yeah.
You're right. It says honey is composed primarily of the sugars glucose and fructose, so we're both right.
So there's some glucose in honey.
There's some glucose, yeah. So here it is.
Okay.
It's averages 38% fructose and 30% glucose and just 1% sucrose. So the fructose to glucose ratio is 1.23. So it's really it's not pure fructose. It's not pure glucose. So we're both right in a sense, but it's a mix.
That's interesting.
And there
okay.
are a few types of honeys that contain more glucose than fructose. The honeys, which are very rich in fructose, tend to taste sweeter.
Because fructose is the sweetest.
Right, right.
Of the monosaccharides, yeah.
So one tablespoon of honey, which weighs 21 grams, approximately 17 grams of that are carbohydrates.
Hmm.
And, you know, so, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't necessarily stop putting honey in the yogurt. You're better off probably having your yogurt plain, putting some fresh fruit in there or even some frozen fruit. That would certainly cut down on the sugar content. And fruit generally is only containing fructose.
There's another property of honey, which is that when you eat local honey, and most of the honey we get is not local. You know, most of it's going to be from some part of the world where the plants are completely different from where we live. But you, it contains pollen residues where you almost get a homeopathic allergy treatment where you can be desensitized to your local pollens. So that's another benefit to honey. So the sugar and honey are disinfectants, but at really high doses externally, not so much internally. Honey contains a natural disinfectant, as I said, probably several, but one is called inhibine, which prevents infections. So honey can be applied. I'm reading an article here. You know, I'm not pulling this. I'm not claiming to just pull it out of my memory banks. Honey has antibacterial properties, no question.
Mm-hmm. Great example is Manuka.
Right. It contains an extract of plant. Which has an oil which is strongly antibacterial and antifungal, so it contains some extracts of the Manuka plant. It can be applied to minor wounds to enhance healing. Blah 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 blah.
Thank you for that very interesting question, Paul. Very interesting questions we're getting today.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got a question from Richard. I was diagnosed with Meniere's disease in 2007 and have been coping well until this past September. Any thoughts on whether nitric oxide might have either a positive or adverse effect on the symptoms of Meniere's? The symptoms have really brought me to my knees. Oh, my, Richard.
Well, okay, so let's actually look at where that might happen. So what's an example in real life of where somebody gets a lot of nitric oxide? Can we think of that?
Because
I got something in mind. Okay, so cut to the chase. It's when men take Viagra, Cialis, Levitra.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the effects of that is that you get flushed. You'll get vision changes sometimes. And frankly, you may get ringing in the ears from that. Because it's kind of a rush of blood through the circulation. So the suggestion is that really like high doses acutely of nitric oxide, which are induced by these medications promote circulation, obviously, and they, especially a certain part of the body, but in general they promote circulation, and so they have side effects. So this would actually not be good. On the other hand, you know, like a moderate amount of nitric oxide production is essential for circulation. And if there's some kind of microcirculatory problem that's causing the Meniere's, then, the chronic production of low doses of nitric oxide might be good. The question is whether to take some of these nitric oxide producing things like arginine or whether to take... Super Beets, which is...
Or citrulline.
Citrulline, right. They should not be harmful. They should be beneficial.
Right. I've heard that some ear, nose, and throat doctors may prescribe ginkgo biloba for better circulation of the inner ear, but that's not a nitric oxide...
That's a more of a platelet inhibitory thing. Maybe it's vasodilating in some other way. Niacin also would have that effect, but in a different, probably working in a different pathway. Niacin has also sometimes been recommended for tinnitus and for Meniere's.
Okay. Richard, we hope you feel better. Some notes about Meniere's disease.
Yeah.
It's very important that you're on a very clean diet. Meniere's is an autoimmune condition primarily. One of the things that can set you up to have symptoms of Meniere's is having unstable or low blood sugar. So you want to make sure that your blood sugar is stable. You want to make sure that you're having adequate amounts of protein and fat with each of your meals.
Yep.
And not having very carb-heavy meals, because that can set you up for an episode.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, yeah. But best of luck, Richard.
Okay.
All right. Okay, we've got a question. Oh, from Dan. Oh, great. Dan asks, I'm curious, what supplements do you take every day?
Oh, boy.
Ah.
Well,
okay.
Let's see. I thought I had my supplements.
Now, I know you take at least twice as much as I do.
Right. I thought I had my supplements lined up on my table here, but I'll try and reconstruct them from memory. It's quite a lot. So, I'll start with Foundation Formula, which is our multi.
Right.
And I'll take 2 to 4 of those a day. I take vitamin C. I take Longevinex, which is the
resveratrol.
I take additional vitamin D about – I just take – because a lot of the supplements I take have additional vitamin D in them, I just take 1,000 twice a day for 2,000 a day. I had my vitamin D checked recently, and it was about 50-something, so it's pretty good.
Great.
I take vitamin E in the form of what we call E-GEMS, which is a mixed tocopherol, rich in gamma tocopherol, and I take 800 of those a day. I take maca, and that's called Maca Pro, I think. Isn't that the name
Peruvian
of the
product? Peruvian ginseng.
Yeah, it's like a it's not, but so to speak, because it's not botanically related to ginseng, but it's sort of a energizer stimulant. I take ashwagandha. I'm, of course, taking I'm taking fish oil 2 to 4 a day. I take, here's where it gets hard, chiolic, aged garlic extract, 1 twice daily. I take glucosamine sulfate with chondroitin and something called ASU, which is called Avasoy Complete.
Ostanol, which you mentioned earlier.
Ostanol, which I mentioned earlier. And what else? What do I always take for immunity? I'm taking transfer factor. I take NT factor, which is an energy compound. And let's see. This is where it gets harder. I may
NAC,
have to
alpha lipoic.
Thank you. I do take alpha lipoic acid. I sometimes take NAC. I don't always take NAC. But I sometimes take NAC, alpha-lipoic acid.
Dr. Hoffman, do you take a probiotic?
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Doctor here is probiotic. There we go.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
Absolutely taking a probiotic. And just trying to reconstruct this from memory.
How about curcumin?
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Curcumin.
I'm guessing some of the things that you likely take.
Very good. Very good. Very good. And I also take EGCG.
Of course.
Tea. Yeah. And, there's a lot of other things I could take, but, it's kind of a limit to how much one can take. One has to prioritize.
Right. And I'll bet it changes with the seasons, too. Like, during cold and flu season, I will up my vitamin D. I will actually take olive leaf. I might even add Empower. My new favorite for a cold is ViraClear.
Oh, yeah.
But
and by the way,
we
had a big run on those in our Hoffman Center dispensary this last weekend. It was like Monday, and all of a sudden people started ordering. It's called V-Clear now, V-Clear.
V-Clear.
I suppose because maybe that's like an FDA thing or an FCC thing where they can't make a claim that it's antiviral. So they just saw V-Clear. But it is antiviral. It's actually a extract of a type of geranium plant that has anti-cold virus, anti-flu virus efficacy.
I think it's African.
African, right. Yeah, African geranium.
It's chrysanthemum. No, it's probably geranium.
Geranium.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful. I've had wonderful results with V-Clear during a cold. I mean, the symptoms literally diminish, and then you take it. At the first instance, if you feel like you're coming down with something, and then you want to continue taking it after the cold is over, maybe 2 to 3 days more, just to make sure.
Let me tell you another thing I'm taking. Let me tell you another thing, because this is going to come back to me in drips and drabs. I also, because I have tested myself for MTHFR polymorphisms, I have the heterozygous kind, which is not as bad as the homozygous kind. The homozygous means you got a double hit, and that's bad. Mm-hmm. I have the heterozygous, which is actually pretty common in people of European ancestry, and like 40%. But it does call for higher doses of methylfolate and B12 and B6. So I take the MethylGuard now. And although in the multi, there's methylfolate now. Our multi has the right kind. We used to have folic acid. We changed it to methylfolate. That's why it's been a little more expensive. So that's one of the things. And I did say I was taking resveratrol as Longevinex. Yep. That I take. Mm-hmm. And I take DHEA. I take DHEA 25 or 50 every day, usually 50, but sometimes I'll skip the second dose. Mm-hmm. Oh, and absolutely. I take a prostate formula, which is salt, palmetto, and pumpkin seed extract.
Yeah. I mean, when's the best time to start taking a prostate formula? Probably when you're like in your 30s or 40s.
Yeah, absolutely.
Something.
Absolutely. Because I think one of the reasons why there's disappointment with the prostate formulas for some men is that they have very large prostates, and it's too much to ask for ordinary salt palmetto to reverse that when it's so far gone. Mm-hmm. But I think its key role might be in prevention, not so much in reversal. I think it's probably something that protects the prostate and helps to prevent progression of prostatic enlargement. Mm-hmm. So, you know, being this is a real nuisance problem for men. And it really is almost an invariable fact of aging that men develop urinary problems, and it can be really debilitating. So, before that started to develop into a problem, many, many years ago, I decided to start taking a prostate preventive. And it seems to be helping me as I move into my 60s not to experience a lot of the problems that men my age have.
And, a benefit of salt palmetto also, not just for men but for women, is, keeping the hair on your head.
Right. And if that's the case, it's really working for me. But I can't – I think it's genetic. I think it really is genetic I just have a pretty strong family history on my mother's side. That's usually the side. You look to the men on your maternal side of the family, and they have pretty good hair for a long time. My grandfather had pretty decent hair until he was well into his 70s and 80s. So that's
definitely genetic.
I think that's pretty much it. I may come up with something. Just let's keep talking, and I may come up with something.
I know some of the most popular supplements for most people that we generally recommend. I like Foundation Formula very much because it doesn't have iron. Iron is not specified for everybody, and especially for men and for postmenopausal women. So it's a nice little background. The fish oil is actually, I think everybody should be taking fish oil. And depending on your circumstances, it could be something like Orthomega, or it could be DHA Select. I like DHA Select.
Right, more for brain benefits as opposed to anti-inflammatory benefits.
Brain, eyes, all of that, which is quite nice.
So that's pretty much what I'm taking. Mm-hmm. It's quite a lot of things, and I do prepare my supplements once a week. And I'm just about out of supplements, so tonight is going to be a round of probably watching the news while getting all my supplement bottles out, and I use like little containers, and I just kind of like blink, 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 make 14 or 20 days worth of supplements and put them in little containers. I keep them in the refrigerator. I actually have a little bar refrigerator, which has no booze in it, but has a ton of vitamins in it. And then I pull them out and put them in little tiny baggies, stick them in my pocket or stick them in my briefcase so that I have them available at work at lunch.
Yeah. You know,
and
I often
you see
tell
me chomping down
on
my vitamins at work, right?
Oh, totally. I see you at lunch, you know,
right.
at handfuls with your lunch. And
right.
the thing is, so many people have trouble with compliance with their supplements. And the biggest reason I see, 80% of the time, is that they're not getting themselves ready. They're not setting themselves up as you do. You could be watching a TV
yes.
program or
right.
the news, and then just putting them into the vitamin towers
once
or into
week.
The pillbox.
Once every week or
once
every 10 days.
Do it all
days.
On a Sunday.
Yeah. yeah.
And then you throw it into your briefcase or your purse, and off you go.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
so.
I can multitask. I can kind of catch the news while I'm, mm-hmm. You know, it's you know what it is? It's almost like physical therapy. Or no, it's, mm-hmm. it's like occupational therapy. You know, like people who have disabilities, they have them do like, whatever, basket weaving or, you know, braiding or
right.
something like that. It's just like mindless stuff. It's almost like a little meditation. You know, blink, 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 you put, put the vitamins in the containers. It's a little ritual.
Yeah.
And, you know, the nice part of it is it's a ritual that kind of seals the deal for compliance with a healthy mm-hmm. program. So I actually, when people say, oh, my wife prepares my vitamins. I said, no, do it yourself. Well, so why do it? Mm-hmm. You know, my wife is willing to do it. It's like, no, it will be more beneficial if you own it and do it yourself. Because it's
Absolutely.
Part of like these little daily rituals that mm-hmm. may seem meaningless in and of themselves, but they are part of fortifying a compliance effect, which has been demonstrated to be associated with good health, whatever it is you do, whether it's a specific exercise routine, whether it's a specific diet routine, whether it's a specific supplement routine, it's you know, it's part of like a regular and meditation could also be a very important part of a compliance effect. Now, this is one of the reasons why studies like Dean Ornish, where they take people who are just the unwashed multitude and they have them follow a diet, they have them meditate, they have them go to certain groups, and then they say, well, which is it? Which is making them healthier? You know, they have much less cancer, they have much less heart disease, which is, who knows? It's all those things together,
mm-hmm.
you know, as part of a healthy life pattern, you know, that that ultimately pay off in health dividends and longevity dividends.
Yeah.
Anyway,
and
we have time for
everyone listening. Yeah, all this can be yours too.
All this can be yours too if you if you shop
at
drhoffman.com and take as many supplements as Dr. Hoffman takes. I challenge you, take the Dr. Hoffman challenge and swallow, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 20, 22 different supplements every day. So make drhoffman.com your one-stop shop for all your supplement needs. That's our final message today because we're running out of time.
Mm-hmm.
Anything to add?
No. I wholeheartedly agree with you. You know, on Monday morning when I come to work, I bring all of my lunchtime supplements with me. That's already packed and ready to go. It sits in my desk drawer and I know what to take and don't have to think about lunch. So.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. So carry on, and let's reconvene in a week. We'll have lots more questions by then. If you want to send us questions, send them to radioprogram@AOL.com. Radioprogram@AOL.com gets you right through to us with your pressing questions about health and nutrition. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman today with Hoffman Center nutritionist Layla Mutin. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla. And this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.